You know where pleasure really comes from? It comes from God. Psalm 16:11. Oh, it says, God, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That means forever and ever and ever and ever.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. Pastor Bill continues his study in 2 Timothy today. Now, in part one of this message, Perilous Times, the Apostle Paul covered the description of ungodly people, which was self-love, materialism, and denial of true godliness. In the second part of Pastor's teaching, Paul urges Timothy to have nothing to do with such people. Today, we'll learn how to identify and avoid false teachers. Now, Pastor Bill.
Can I just be honest with you? Has that infected the true church?
Absolutely.
God, thank God bless you. You know, I'm not beating anybody up, but it's just amazing how binging on sports. You know, right now the sports season, I'm telling you, you won't even be able to watch TV if you like TV because everything is going to be college football and professional football.
Exactly right.
You know what I mean? It's just consuming. That's why I watch the old Ozzie and Harriet movies and stuff. You know, you don't remember them. That's okay. But no, listen to me. See, do we binge on entertainment today? Come on. Do we binge on sports? Yeah, do we have those? Okay, we're going to have a marathon movie night. We're going to watch all of whatever it is, 13 hours straight, and we're going to, there's a problem there. And then I see Christian adults, they have those, video games, but it's called something, Xbox, or I don't know what it is. I don't care what it is. But just play for hours and hours and hours. I'm not talking about the kids, they do that anyway. But the adults, I don't even know how to play a video game. You know what I played? One time. Mario. Was that it? Was it? Oh, yeah, there it is. Now, it's crazy. Oh, listen. You know, you're hours watching and cheering on your Dallas Cowboys. But did you pray an hour? How about fast and pray an hour? Oh, no. Listen, loved one. In the last days, we're in the last days. Is the spirit of the last days in the church today? Yes, it is. Now, listen to me. I love you, but listen to me. Cater to me. I want a church that offers a smorgasbord or whatever. I want a little of this, a little of that, a little of that. And you better have that for me. And I want the worship better be entertainment. I mean, entertainment. I mean, it's got to make me move. You know what I'm... What did God's word say about that? Jesus said in John 4:23, he said, oh, the hour is coming. Now is when true worshipers that will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Here it comes. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in entertainment. No, in truth. We live, come on, I've been a pastor a long time. I've heard it all. Well, you know, they call, people call. Well, what kind of pastor is he? Well, see, they don't know I'm on the line. Because sometimes I answer the phone, you know, because if you see. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't like him, but, you know. Well, how's his sermons? I need a sermon that's going to make me feel good about me. You know what I mean? In other words, how God loves me. How God forgives me, how God blesses me, how heaven is going to be my home. You know, but listen, you know, I don't want any of that book by book, chapter by chapter, line by line. You mean you're going to take me through the Bible? I got to hear Leviticus. When I preached Leviticus, I entitled that series Loving Leviticus. I love the Word of God, don't you? Yeah, in other words, they do that. You know, there's an attitude, that last day's attitude, that shouldn't be here. It's like, hey, I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to give. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to pray. And I'm not going to lift one finger. And pastor, you better not try to make me feel uncomfortable because I won't put up with it. Oh, okay. So you're telling me that I better not put you on a guilt trip? Well, you better believe it. I'm under grace. And you better be careful how you treat me or I'll leave. Bye. Listen to me now. The last day spirit is in the church today, the true church. You see, commitment today doesn't really go beyond this. I attend. Amen. Oh, loved one, we don't want to be like that. It says lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, the Bible says that God is working in us, Philippians 2:13, for his good pleasure. The Bible tells us, the psalmist has written in Psalm 147:11, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. Listen, did you know that really pleasure doesn't come from the Dallas Cowboys winning? No, you know what I'm saying? You know where pleasure really comes from? It comes from God. Let me give you the scripture, Psalm 16:11. Oh, it says, "You, God, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That means forever and ever and ever and ever. Now listen, who are these people? They're those who say that they are Christians, but they're not Christians. Their lives deny it. Verse 5 is talking about the church powerless, okay? Because it's denied the power of God. Look at it. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying its what? Its power. It really should read, having denied its power. They don't want anything to do with it. It says, and from such people, this command, turn away. Now listen to me. They, verse 5, they are professing Christians without Christ Jesus as their Lord. And the apostate church that we see today, and it's here, it's largely characterized by a form of, if you will, of godliness, but there is no power there. And you know why? They have watered down the Word of God. They have watered down the good news of Jesus Christ. They've perverted the gospel. Listen, Christianity is absolutely supernatural. To be a new creation in Christ is a miracle, amen? And the gospel, Romans 1:16, the good news, it is the power of God unto salvation. Boy, you believe it, it'll change your life. You'll be dead in trespasses and sins, then you're made alive, amen? That's what the gospel does. And these people here, they denied it. Why? Well, they just have a form. See, they have an outer appearance of godliness. They pray, they sing, they may do great works and good works, but the problem is there is absolutely no inner power because they are not born from above. They have ritual, but they have it without relationship. Without relationship. Listen to me. A person, Jesus said, many, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not done many wonderful works in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name? And Jesus will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you doers of iniquity. Now listen, many will call on the name of the Lord. But here's the problem. The church, the apostate church, is just like what Jesus just said. You see, did Jesus condemn them for casting out demons? No. Did Jesus condemn them for any of the wonderful works they did in his name? No. Jesus condemned them because I don't know who you are. No, I have no relationship with you. You see, you can experience today and then too. You can experience the power of God. You can experience the presence of God and not have the person of Christ living in your heart. And that's what the apostate church is. You know, Satan can do miracles, false miracles, lying miracles. Do you know that? Listen, boy, do we need to be so careful. So this religion that they have. Listen, if you remove Christ, there is no Christianity, loved one. And what is worse than a powerless so-called Christian church? Oh, they're dangerous. Now listen, what does God command us to do? He says in a culture here like we live in that has given rights to every form of wickedness, God says, I want you to turn away from people like this. You know, we are in revolution, aren't we? Are we? I don't know. I sure pray we are. I hope our mindset is that. Because, you know, listen to me. I did a Google search. You know how you do Google search, right? I said, how many Christian churches are in Tarrant County? And so there are about or over 2,000 Christian churches in Tarrant County. Christian churches, not churches, Christian churches. Listen, that means that our county ought to be claimed for the kingdom of God. Tarrant County should be called all over America. This is God's country. But is it?
No.
We have 2,000 churches just in our county. Do you see the season we're in? Do you see what's happening? You know, we have to be honest with ourselves and we have to say, truly, Christian, listen now, has the salt of the earth, has it lost its flavor? Has the light of the world, are we growing dim? Is the church sleeping? The true church, oh, that here we are seated with Christ, chosen by God in Him before eternity. Are we asleep? Oh, I can't do that. Oh, you can't do anything, but with Jesus, you can do anything. No. Jesus said that the church is supposed to be a city that is set up on a hill that can never be hidden, but is the church hiding? We have to be honest and ask ourselves these questions. Man, we are in a horrible season. The Bible tells us right here, He says, from such people, turn away. Do you know how powerful the church is? We are the most powerful family on earth. We're citizens of heaven. We're aliens on this planet. Do you understand? Listen, America's future is not in the hands of the White House. It's in the hands of God's house, the church. Do you understand? The church. We're the church. See, if we're salt, that means we preserve. If we're light, that means we expose. And that means we have to be doing what God says in His Word. Now look at verse 6, talking about the false teachers now, and look at their converts. For of this sort, it says, are those who creep or they worm their way into households and they make captives of gullible women, meaning immature. They'll believe anything that if it's packaged the right way. And look at these women. They're loaded down, and there's men too, so we're not, you know, loaded down, weighed down with sins, and they're led away by their various or all kinds of lust. So out of verses 1 through 5 come all these false teachers, and they offer, that's what a false teacher does, they offer any way. A way to get out of anything. Oh, if you're weighed down with sins, here, let me create a brand new doctrine. And they will believe that. But look what happens. They're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that sad? In other words, they're eager. They're eager to learn. Boy, they're ever learning disciples, but they're never arriving at the truth of the gospel. Why? They deny it. They resist it. They want nothing to do with it. They're always searching for the truth, yet never finding it. And you know why? Because they are listening to false teachers. Don't listen to false teachers. You know what the false teachers in this day were? Remember Paul said they're idle babblings. They're empty. They have no promises. Listen, false teaching will never lead you to the truth because false teaching leads you away from the truth. Amen? Jesus said in John 8:32, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And look at the example that Paul gives us in verse 8. Now, Jannes and Jambres resisted, or they opposed Moses. Now watch, so do these also resist or oppose the truth, meaning these false teachers. The truth, meaning the gospel. Why do they do it? Well, they're men of, number one, men of corrupt minds. Number two, disapprove concerning the faith. That word disapproved means they have been tested and they have been found counterfeit in their lives. Now, Jannes and Jambres here, their names, of course, are not mentioned anywhere in the Bible but here. But this takes us back to Moses whenever God called he and Aaron to take the people out of the land of Egypt from Pharaoh, remember? And so even though their names are not in Exodus chapter 7 and 8, that's where you would find this Paul's talking about. The Holy Spirit, they're telling us about these right now in the Word of God. So it's connected with perilous times. So what did God tell Moses? He said, you go to Pharaoh and you tell them to let my people go. And remember, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and it says that God sent 10 plagues upon the people of Egypt. And so these people here, they opposed Moses, Pharaoh and them. They opposed Moses and Aaron. And what did they do? They matched miracle after miracle that Moses did up to a point, okay? Remember what they did? Moses threw down the rod. Remember, what did it turn into? A serpent. Yes. And then all of a sudden, did the magicians do the same thing? Yes. And then what did God's snake do, though? Ate them all up. Wasn't that cool? Yeah. So he sent that. So, but they were able to duplicate the miracle. And then all of a sudden, the water turned to blood. Remember that part? All the rivers, all the streams, there was all blood in Egypt. And so did the magicians, were they able to do the same thing? Yes. How stupid was that? I mean, if you have all blood already, why would you want to do it? I'd like a little water. Do you understand? No. And then how about the next one? The plague of frogs. Oh, that was cool. Were they able to duplicate that? Yes. You know, I'd change their name to Crummy and Dummy because who would want to just say, I'm sending the frogs away. But they duplicated the miracle until they got to the lice, which the gnats, whichever you prefer. They couldn't do that. Because God told Moses, take the rod, you strike the dust, and the dust went, and all of a sudden, the lice covered everyone in Egypt, livestock, everyone. But they could not, the magicians couldn't do that one. You know why? Because that created life, and they can't create life, and neither can the devil. So these were those lying signs and wonders, and what did the magicians do? They came to Pharaoh when they couldn't do the lice thing and said, listen, we've had enough. This is the finger of God. See, they had a form, an appearance of godliness, but they weren't operating in God's power. They were operating in satanic power. These people, false teachers then and today, it says they are men of corrupt minds. The word corrupt means rotten. They're rotten in their thinking. They're disapproved, like I said earlier, tested and found to be counterfeit concerning the faith. Now watch this. This is the good part now. We saw how horrible everything is. Look at verse 9. But, everyone say but. That's a good word. But they, every false teacher, whatever they're doing, it says, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all as theirs, meaning Jannes and Jambres, also was. What does this tell us? It says, you better be a good cheer, Christian. God's in control. Did you know that, did evil have a limit then? Of course they did. I mean, okay, they did the snakes, they did the frogs, they did the blood and the water, but when he got to the lice, it was still over with. You couldn't do it. And God went on with all the other plagues and so forth. Listen, even in perilous times, and we are in perilous times, God is in control. You know, amen. And there it is, loved one. Those are the characteristics of the end time, the society in the last days, where they're going. They're going downhill. Because they've denied their creator. They're going downhill. And also, this is a characteristic of the apostate church in the last days. But don't be discouraged. No, you need to know who you are in Christ. That's why it's so important to go through the Bible. Would you look back at chapter 2 of Timothy with me? Look in verse 19. Let's cheer ourselves up before we leave today and go home. Look at verse 19. It says, nevertheless, that word means in spite of it all. And then we're talking about false teachers and false doctrine. He says, in spite of all of it. I love this. The solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Listen, there's going to be Jannes and Jambres in every generation. They come and they go. It doesn't bother me. You should be wise enough to know false teaching when you hear it. Amen? Yeah. Listen, but I know this. The only thing that's solid in this world is the foundation of God. It is solid as a rock. It is immovable. No one can destroy the foundation of God. No, God knows who is His. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He's going to build it, and we're His people. Amen? He says, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Listen, we have already won because we are in Him who has overcome this world. Amen? Oh, how we need to understand the Word of the living God. Listen, in somebody I know you're listening right now, maybe you're home, listen live, you're on the radio, whatever it might be, here. and you're going, I believe things are going to get better. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to depress you. But I want you to look at one more scripture. If you think things are going to get better, I want you to look at verse 12 and 13 of chapter 3 where we're at. Let's see, what does it say? Paul says, oh yeah, yes, that's all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Okay, that's a fact, but look at the next one. Are things going to get better? But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That is the descent of mankind in our society without Christ. Listen, we are in the last days. Jesus said something. He said, you know, not everyone who says to me, Lord, 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 not everyone who says to me, calls out to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In the scripture that I told you earlier, oh, many will say unto me, Jesus says in that day, Lord, Lord, look what we've done for you. In that day when we stand before him, in that day when everyone will stand before him, Lord, Lord, look what I've done for you. I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. I did all these wonderful works in your name. But Jesus said, you got a problem. I don't know who you are. You've never had a relationship with me. Depart from me, you doers of iniquity. Won't you listen to me now? You've heard this over and over in your life. All roads lead to God. And you know what? All roads do lead to God. But that doesn't mean that person is saved. Every person will stand before the living God. Every person. Oh, loved one, listen. Do you know the Lord? Are you born again? You listening live, are you born again? Is Jesus, have you said, Jesus, I love you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Save me. Have you ever done that? See, listen to me. Those people that cried out, Lord, Lord, and did all those wonderful works, they were the apostates. Listen to me now. They were Jesus namers. Lord, Lord. They were not Jesus followers. Are you a Jesus namer? Don't be that. Be a Jesus follower. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, every Christian praying, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, boy, this is a perfect moment for you. You can do so right this minute. All you have to do is say, Bill, that's me, and lift your hand and say, pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to know for a fact that I am saved. I want to know it. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Anyone this morning, if that's you, God bless you. That's right. God bless you. Anyone else, say, Bill, that's me. God bless you. That's right. Just put it, your hand up, put it right back down. Anyone else, quickly. Let me just see. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I'm not going to be a Jesus namer, but I'm a Jesus follower. I want Jesus to be my Lord. God bless you. That's right. Anyone else before I close in prayer? Last call. If you feel that tug of the Holy Spirit, please, I beg you, put your hand up and then put it right back down. Anyone else? You that lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. And those who are listening live, you pray this prayer with me as well. Say, Father, I do not want to be a Jesus namer, but a Jesus follower. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Father in heaven, you promised in your word that if I ask Jesus to be my Lord and believe that in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I am saved. And the church says, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast today. It's comforting to know that as the world grows darker, we as believers are to shine brighter, and that God's truth will prevail in the end. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.